May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In the name of Jesus, amen. 1 week of the new quarter is now complete. How was it? Did that 1 week seem maybe like 1,000 years? Only 1 week into it, and you're probably already eager for the end to come. And there's no doubt, the end will come. On February 17th, it'll come. You can be sure, after all, it's in print in the catalog. And after all, quarters have ended before. You've seen it happen. And this one will end as well. You look forward to it, don't you? With every assignment that you finish and every page that you turn, you look forward, you long for February 17th. I can't wait until I'm done with this professor's class. Little do you know that that same professor who is at that very same moment sitting in his office grading your sermon thinks the very same thing about you. We look forward to the end, when all is done and there's time for rest. Why don't we have as much eagerness and anticipation for the day of the Lord as we do for the end of the quarter? We know Jesus is coming. It's in print. Not the date, but the promise. Jesus promised to return again, and this is no cleverly invented story. No, Peter and other apostles and the prophets of old before them wrote of this, all carried along by the Holy Spirit. They foretold the day of the Lord. Do we doubt? There are false prophets. There are naysayers, agnostics, and atheists in our day who doubt it. People show by the way that they live that they don't expect the Lord to come. They don't have a care in the world. Life goes on forever. Do we doubt? No. We just lose sight of it. You and I are busy living. Life goes on, day after day, just as it has for 2,000 years since our Lord ascended into heaven. And life brings with it plenty of distractions, especially in this day and age. Especially this time of year. We're making Christmas lists and eating Christmas goodies. We live for the things of the moment, easily forgetting what is most important. Our eagerness is often misplaced, directed toward the things of this world, the things we desire, the things that eventually fade away or will certainly perish by fire at the end. Despite our callings as Christians through baptism, quite often we're still nearsighted, even blind, forgetting that we're cleansed of our past sins. In this epistle, Peter warns about what is in store for those who believe but turn away and live in unrepented sin. It would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned their backs. He quotes this proverb saying, a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. How often do you turn your back and wallow in the mud just a little bit more, not considering that the Lord might return at any time? But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Are you ready? You may have heard the story in the news a few weeks ago about Susan Buxton, the 66-year-old grandmother who was surprised by a thief who broke into her house in the middle of the night while he was on the run from police. Susan and her 28-year-old granddaughter heard a noise and were awakened in the middle of the night. Keep in mind now that this is in my home state of Texas. And so Grandma Buxton grabs her .38 revolver. And they search the house, and they find this muscle-bound thug crouched down in their hall closet. But when the thug didn't heed Mrs. Buxton's warning, and along with a few expletives, she shot him in the thigh. Despite all of her yelling and cursing, she knew what to do. She was trained, and she was licensed to use her .38 revolver. If you listen to the tape of the 911 call, It sounds rather chaotic. You have Mrs. Buxton shouting expletives and telling the guy to get down on the floor. You have the granddaughter talking to the operator on the phone, and the operator asking her to please tell her grandmother to stop shooting. But Mrs. Buxton is simply doing what any Texas grandma with a concealed handgun permit would do. The thief came in the night, and she was ready. Are you ready? Are you spotless, blameless, and at peace with God? No, but in Christ you are. He is the one who is able to present you spotless and blameless before the Father. It is for you, after all, that Christ came in the flesh. It is for you that Christ suffered and died on the cross, answering for all of your sins. It's for you that he promises to come again. It's for you that the Lord speaks through his prophets and apostles, calling you to repentance and announcing God's forgiveness for you. He reaches out to open up your eyes to see the full gravity of your situation, your sin, and to realize and savor the richness of his grace, of who you are and what you are now in Christ. You have God's great and precious promises made certain in Christ Jesus. And God's divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Peter writes to faithful Christians who need their memory refreshed, who need to be reminded again and again of who they are in Christ. Godly people who live not for the moment, long for him to come again, looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. We lose sight of what God has promised us as we hear the naysayers and we fall prey to the temptations and distractions day in and day out. God seems slow in coming to deliver. But don't be fooled, beloved. Don't forget this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. God is eternal. God is outside of time. But just because he is eternal and outside of time doesn't mean he's indifferent towards it. He knows firsthand what it is to be limited to time. Christ submitted himself to time when he came in this world in the flesh. He knows what anticipation and longing are. He felt every second of pain and agony as he hung on the cross for you. He anticipated it with tears and sweat, drops of blood. He overcame the distractions of all of that excruciating pain and agony and submitted himself to death, exchanging his righteousness for the filth of your sin. This is the eternal God who lowers himself and steps into time for you. And even today, God is still active in time for you. He's active in your life as Christ comes to you in real, tangible ways. How else will he make you eager and long for his return? He gives you Jesus. Not just a little bit. Not just a piece here and there, but the whole Jesus. He gives you Jesus in his word, which stands forever and will never fade away. He gives you Jesus in his holy supper as you feast on his body and on his blood for forgiveness, life, and salvation. He builds you up to anticipate his coming and a rich welcome into his eternal kingdom. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Your Christian life is one of repentance and of looking forward. That's what Advent, a penitential season in which you look forward to the Lord's coming with joy, is. His coming may seem slow, but behold his patience. His desire to see all turn from their sin and receive the gift of his Son, Jesus. It's the time when his word goes forth to accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. It's the time which the gospel goes forth to the ends of the earth. It's the time of salvation. And the Lord's patience means salvation. Salvation for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.